All right, open your Bibles, if you would please, to Ezekiel chapter 22. I'm going to get moving along here just for sake of time and get you out of here before you get buried in this building with snow. So, Ezekiel chapter 22, and verse number 24. The title of this message is, I Sought for a Man and Found None. And then the second part of it is, who will go to the valley of slaughter? Who will go to the valley of slaughter? Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse number 24. Son of man, say unto her, thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. While God is saying that he is profaned among them, at this point, God is speaking to apostate Israel, and he is saying, I am profaned among you. Is it not like that today in the churches today? God is profaned among them. Interesting, isn't it? How many parallels are there? Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey. Well, what's our country like? Our leaders like? I know they're not princes, but they're leaders. They think they're princes, but they're more like princesses. Most of them are, but they're princes, right? In the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey. Man, they are looking. They are just devouring widows' houses today. The poor get poorer and the rich get richer. That's what's going on today. The super rich haven't lost anything in this country. They've gotten more rich. They've increased their wealth. But others of that middle class have just went straight down and not gained anything. All right, it says here, her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood. Well, that's our country, isn't it? And to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. Yep. And her prophets, now we move on to the prophets. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. Wow. Look at that. Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. They have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And then it comes to this verse here, which is our text verse tonight. I want you to think about this as I preach through this tonight and liken it to the challenges that we're facing here over the next couple days as we go to Planned Parenthood. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. You think about that for a second, okay? I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Let's pray. Father, help us, Lord. This is you speaking in the scriptures directly to us and saying that you searched as a man would search, not as God, because God knoweth all things, but liken it to a man. And you're giving us terms that we can understand, and you're saying you sought for a man. And there was none that would stand in the gap, that would make up the hedges. Dear God, let us be those men that'll do that. Let it not be said on our watch, Lord, that we did nothing for the unborn. Let it not be said among us, Lord, that we did not try to help the unborn, that we weren't a voice for those that had no voice at all. But Lord, we stood and we warned them and we went to their butchering groves and we stood before their idolatry and their adulterous places and their altars where they slay the innocent. And we stood there and we warned them. Dear God, let it not be said that there was found none among us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. You know, we have a famine in the land for biblical men. that will stand in the gap, that will make up the hedge. Not just in the present subject we're talking about abortion, but in the preaching of God's word and boldly proclaiming it to the lost and calling the saved to repentance, as well as the effeminate Ahab attitudes that are out there today. Right. I got that from Nate, that effeminate Ahab. That was a good, I stole that from him. He's going to preach a sermon on that, but I stole that little title from him. So anyway, sorry, Brother Nate, but I got that from you. But anyway, yeah. But you know what? As we see here, though, where are the men today? Where are they? Why would somebody have to move to Northfield, Minnesota? Why would they have to do that? Why aren't there preachers that are preaching the Word of God with power and boldness and great authority as they preach the Word of God, the authority given to them by the Word of God? Why does somebody have to do that? Well, we're just going to say, hey, by the way, we're not keeping everybody. We're going to turn around and send them out back to where they came, some of them.
Amen.
Amen. Back to where they came, some of them. Others to wherever God leads them, or to be here, wherever God leads. But you know what? We're going to send them out. We're not planning on keeping everybody. We want to start churches everywhere. We want to have loudmouth preachers on every stinking corner of this country, in every city of this country. But where are these men? God said, I sought for a man. But you know what? Let's do this in order. The problem starts first. Number one, the problem starts with the pulpits and the spiritual leaders first. You want to know why it's hard for people to even respect pastors today? Because they're not against anything. They're not warring against anything. I listened to that sermon today, Fundamentalism versus Apostasy by Ian Paisley. And I had already written this yesterday, but it had me fired up, man, when I was listening to that. I was fired up putting this together last night yesterday. But you know what? When I listened to that sermon, man, I was fired up. Because it reminded me, you have all this criticism today. Oh, why does he yell so loud? Why does he do this? And why does he do that? And why do you have to be like this? And why do you have to be like that? And here's Ian Paisley in the whole 35-minute sermon. He's doing nothing but yelling the whole time.
Yeah.
That's all he's doing the whole sermon. Yeah, that's how he preaches.
Amen.
Right? And that's what preachers do. They're not sissy britches. They're not little effeminate Ahabs that are scared to tell the truth. You want to know why there's no boldness in America? Because there's no preachers being bold anymore in America. They're scared. They're scared to be bold anymore. And why, when you have liberty, are you so scared to be bold?
Amen.
Well, Ezekiel chapter 22, verse number 25, tells us there is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. And you can't tell the difference anymore. People go to church, they don't know the difference between the holy and profane. They don't have a clue. Why? What says here? Because their preachers weren't preaching it. That's why. Their preachers weren't discerning that. They weren't helping them discern the holy and the profane. They were not helping them do that. No, they weren't. They put no difference between the holy and the profane. Now you show up to church, it's the same thing as a nightclub. It's the same thing as a country club. All it is a bunch of people to get together and have a good time, shake each other's hand, and act like they love each other when they stab each other in the back on the way out. Don't know each other. Don't talk to anybody. Don't love one another. Don't have any brotherly love for them. Don't go out and war. You know why they don't have any brotherly love? Because they're not warring against anything. I'm going to tell you what. You let persecution come, and you're going to find out what churches have brotherly love and what don't. You're going to find out that they're going to start coming together and flocking together more. Why is that? Because persecution. Persecution. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. You know, there's a conspiracy of her prophets. Yeah, the prophets are silent today. And let me get this. Let me tell you something first and foremost. God's men are preachers. They are prophets. They are preachers, and they preach. That's what they do. That's what they're supposed to do. Amen. And you know what? America needs more than ever some prophets. That's what it needs. Not just in the pulpit. I mean some foretellers, some ones that will go out and tell and preach this book exactly how it's written.
Amen.
With neither fear nor favor. That's what is needed today. You got all these people running around, well, Cruz is going to be president, or I want Cruz, and I'm voting for Cruz, and I'm voting for this guy, and I'm voting for this. Which shill are you going to vote for? I'm not voting for any of the shills.
Right.
I don't need another Jesuit coadjutor in the office. I'm fine. It's okay. It really is. Seriously.
Amen.
They're not going to do anything anyway. But what they're... Look at that. I busted that bottle. Look at that. Anyway. Man, getting water all over me. At least it's not slobber, I guess. Amen. Man, I'm telling you. All right. Anyway, good thing I'm not hooked up to electric up here. This is battery, right, Brother Aaron? Might be in some trouble up here. Anyway, I had to get a drink of water, though. My throat was getting dry. All right, but listen, you know what? What do we have today? We have no prophets today. We have no prophets in pulpits today that thunder out the truth, that are not afraid to thunder out the truth. See, you've preached on this before along these lines. You bet I have, and I'm going to do it again, and it'll happen again, and it'll happen again, because every time I do it, God starts to use it to start to raise some men up and to get a fire underneath them and say, you know what? That's what we need to do. That's what we need right here. Hey, I'm not the only one that says stuff like that. Ian Paisley said it. Other men like that said it.
Amen.
They thundered it out. Pastors in America have just gotten rich and wealthy, many of them. They're living off prosperity.
Amen.
Living off that prosperity. And by the way, Independent Fundamental Baptists have their own form of their version of prosperity gospel. They've got their own form and their own version of it too. Believe me, they do. They push it too the same way. They just do it a little bit differently. Now I think some of them are absolutely ignorant to what they're doing. Okay, I don't say that all of them have ill intentions, but what they're showing, what they're preaching is wrong. What they're trying to force people to do. You know, they have this David Gibbs living high on the hog. Let's confront evil. Let's not confront evil type of mentality. David Gibbs is the same way. He gets rich off of everybody. He's gotten rich off the Lord. He's made a lot of money off the Lord. He's made a lot of money enslaving the Lord's churches, placing them under the government. He's lauded everywhere and is this great guy, this great champion of the faith. He's not a champion of the faith. Man, that guy would stick a knife in your back when you walk down the sidewalk, man. If he thought it'd give him a buck in his pocket, he'd do whatever he had to do. I have no respect for that man. Oh, he preaches the gospel. Does he? Does he preach repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ? Does he preach it strong and straight and true? No, I don't think so. I bet he guts repentance. And whatever crowd he's with, that's the crowd he goes along with. He preaches at Hiles Anderson. Okay, so if you're going to preach at Hiles Anderson, you don't believe in repentance. Because if you did, they wouldn't ask you to preach there. That's a little bit too much truth for some people. Ezekiel chapter 13, verse number 22. Because with lies ye have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. You know what? That's what's going on today. That's what you want to lay the blame on. Why? Why is there no man to stand in the gap today? Why won't there be 500 men gathered around that abortion clinic in St. Paul? Out of all the fundamental Baptist churches that are in this area, which there are a few and there are some big ones, why won't there be any of those men there? Why won't they be standing out preaching and thundering out the truth? Why won't they be there? I'll tell you why. Because with lies they've made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad. If you got a zeal and that church doesn't, they're going to stomp you. They're going to stomp you to oblivion. You're going to be considered a radical. You're going to be considered crazy. You're going to be considered... But you know what? Every time God lights a fire under somebody, that's exactly what people who have no fire do, and that's how they treat them. Look at Whitfield and other men like that. They were thrown outside. They couldn't even go into the churches. Why? Because the churches were all dead. The groups, the assemblies, they were all dead. They couldn't even go in there. They didn't want him in there, so they said, we'll go preach in the fields and the streets. That's right. God doesn't need any building. That's right. If they could get away with it, they would stone you like they did Stephen. That's right, absolutely. Where are the real men who stand against wickedness of the times? Where are the pastors? Where are they? Have they all gone away? Are they altogether unprofitable now? They've taken the treasure and precious things, and they are no longer at war against evil. They're getting rich. Not all of them, but many of them are getting rich and wealthy. And you know what? They're not fighting the war anymore. They're not in the battle anymore. They're not mad at anybody. Man, I'm telling you, they're not mad at the devil. They're not mad at apostasy. They're not mad at anything. You could barely get any feeling out of them. You could barely get anything out of them. You can't get any emotion out of them from their pulpit. Their teachings are all just plain and very boring and no fire and no zeal. Why? Because they're not at war with anybody. They're not. And that's why you wonder, who's going to stand in the gap? That's why you could never see those people. You know what? They don't want to go up and confront a bunch of lesbians and a bunch of wicked sodomites that are going to be standing outside that abortion clinic, and they're going to be bragging about their abortion. They're going to be laughing about it. They're going to be laughing about the murdering the unborn.
Right.
Yeah, bunch of witches. They don't want to stand up. But you know what? Who's going to tell them?
Amen.
If we don't, who's going to tell them? Where are the fighting fundamentalists today? What happened to them?
Amen.
Right? Where are they? Right. That's right. It is what happens to a movement. But where are they? Where are these men that used to fight? Where are their children and grandchildren that used to stand up and thunder out the truth and fight it and fight against the apostasy and warn against things and call men to repentance? Yeah, they're at the movie theaters. They've already given into the world. They've already succumbed to that. They've already brought the world into the church.
Right.
So they're just going to try to make the world a little churchy. That's all. That's it, right? That's all they're doing. That's it. Yep. Nobody wants to fight the devil and his kingdom anymore. They're at ease in Zion, and they're watching America go to hell. Pastors are to blame first. They've made no difference between the holy and profane. There is no difference today and where are that there ever was. And where are the men that will stand in the gap and make up the hedge? Where are the pastors? Where are they? Why aren't they leading their churches out to the streets to go preach the gospel? You tell me why. You can't. Most churches do not preach in the streets. Okay, I got it. Let's say, well, I don't like to stand up and yell at people. Okay, well, don't. Just go out there and talk to them then. Let me see you hand out tracts at events. Do you do that? No, they don't do that either. Why? Well, because they're taking busloads of people into the events. That's why. They're taking busloads of people into the events, and they're not warring against it because they're compromised. God is raising up some prophets, though, that'll go out and war against effeminate Ahab and Jezebel and call the nation to repentance. Listen, folks, think about this. We have babies being murdered out there every day. But where are the pastors leading their churches in imprecatory prayers against these places, in holding signs and being a witness against these places? Don't say anything. Just go hold a sign in front of it. Because I guarantee you, start out by not saying anything. I mean, put a piece of tape over your mouth and take a sign out there. You know what will happen? I'll tell you what. If you're saved, the Spirit of God will fire you up and you'll rip that tape off and say, "Look, lady, you can't murder your baby."
Amen.
That's what you'll do. Amen. You won't be able to shut up. If you're saved,
right.
If you have the Spirit of God in you, you won't be able to be silent about it. So you don't want to put yourself in that atmosphere. Just go out.
Yep.
Where are the pastors who are leading men in their churches to the streets and standing outside the sodomite parades and standing at the outside the beer festivals and warning them to repent and believe the gospel? That's right. Standing against the murder of the unborn, not at the worthless ballot box, but on the streets in front of the murder mill where babies are being destroyed. Go right to the heart of it, right to where it's happening. That's right. We're going to get to that. That's the valley of slaughter. We're going to get to that. Isaiah chapter 56 and verse number 10. His watchmen are all blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. What are they? Dumb dogs that cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. What is he saying here? He's telling you that they're in a spiritual slumber. What do we have in America? What are our churches? Drunk on prosperity, drunk on the world, drunk on the affairs of this life, and they are not fighting anything. They are not warring any longer against anything. People say, why do you always have to talk about warring? Because we're in a war. And Satan hasn't quit fighting. That's right. While we're sleeping, he's fighting. So while we're awake, we ought to be fighting.
Amen.
Amen? While we're awake, we ought to be fighting. They are dumb dogs that cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. God help them. They are asleep while America is going to hell right in front of us. And they're worried about electing Ted Cruz president. Are you serious? First of all, his best friend in the media is a stinking Mormon. Do you understand that? He is a Mormon. He is a temple Mormon. Do you get that? If anything, Cruz would be a candidate for the best Antichrist candidate you could have out there. Do you understand that? He's a dominionist. What they want to do, he's had Pentecostals lay hands on him and impart devils to him. And you got all these, and a Mason, right? And you got all these Baptists that are just wanting to yoke up with him and be a part of it? Really? Seriously? Why? Why? You know what? Hit the streets. As many as you got all these people that are going there, instead of going to the ballot box, get everybody in a bus and take them downtown and go preach.
Amen.
Dumb dogs that cannot bark. They can't. Why? They're too tired. They're too sleepy. They're too drunk on the affairs of this life. I like what Leonard Ravenhill said. If Jesus had preached the same message that ministers preach today, he would never have been crucified. He said this too, may the Lord send us prophets, terrible men, who cry aloud and spare not, who sprinkle nations with unctioned woes, men too hot to hold, too hard to be heard, too merciless to spare.
Hey.
That's what we need.
Yep. Amen.
That's exactly what we need. Yep. That's right. But today they hold back the sword from blood, don't they? Dumb dogs that cannot bark. What did he say? He said, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Where are the pastors to stand in the gap? Why are they so afraid to stand up? Why don't they want to? Why don't they want to be on the streets? Why don't they want to warn people? Why are we so locked into programs? Where are all the real pastors out there that are leading the charge? There's some good men out there. I'm not saying there isn't. God has a remnant. But I'll tell you what, it's challenging to find it.
Amen.
I get emails every week from people. Is there any preaching like you preach around me? Do you know any churches like that? I try to find them. I try to find other men like that. Not the style, but the preaching, the topics or whatever, you know what I mean? The preaching, right. Preaching on things that need to be preached, preaching against sin. And then you have people like Eric Frank, who just all of a sudden he just decides that we shouldn't be preaching on specific sins anymore.
Wow.
Because you might cause brothers that have had victory to recount those things that they were into, and it might cause them to stumble. Really? The Bible never gives me a warning, ever, one time, not to preach on sin because it'll cause somebody to stumble.
Right.
Right. It's you're to warn the righteous and warn the wicked. Grow up. Grow up. Your head's so messed up right now, you can't even think straight. We need strong leaders today. Listen, you don't want to know why a pornography sermon that you preach gets 3,000 downloads? Because nobody's preaching on it. Go look on sermon audio and go look. Nobody wants to talk about it. Why? Because their churches are full of people watching pornography. It's just like Hollywood. Nobody wanted to preach about it. Nobody wanted to preach directly about it. And when I did, I got messages from all over the world of people throwing their movies away, burning their videos, stop watching them, sending me pictures and videos of them trashing their videos and burning them up. Sending me pictures and videos of all those things. Look, preacher, I got rid of all these videos. Thanks for preaching on it. Thanks for doing it.
Amen.
Now that goes to the glory of God. That has nothing to do with me. I just saw something. There's a need there. Let's fill it. Let's preach it.
Amen.
Because I knew what God did in my own life with that. to get rid of it. And you know what? I have seen nothing but the power of God and the blessings of God from preaching against those things.
Amen.
And from warning sinners against pornography and warning the saved against pornography and warning them against fornication and everything else. And you know what? Since I've started doing that, I can't believe how many people have got upset about that and said, "Preacher, no, you should, you know, you shouldn't." One guy told me, he came here, he said, "My wife doesn't like preaching on fornication." Well, number one, I don't care. Just so you know, I don't really care if your wife doesn't like it.
Amen.
Right? I don't care. That's not my problem. That's your problem.
Yep.
Now, at the time, I didn't tell him that, but I made sure I preached a message on fornication the very next one. Because, see, when somebody tells me not to preach on something like that, and I know they're adamant about it, it's like, man, you're over the top of it. You need to, like, keep going. You hit it right there. You hit it. It's just like we were at outside of a country concert. It was Brother Nate, myself, and Dad. I think it was just us three, wasn't it? There's only three of us there. Man, there were thousands of people. There was like 30,000 people that poured out of that. It was just insane. It was just us three. And Nate, the Lord just impressed upon him, and he was like, okay, preach on drink. You were there, yeah. Preach on drinking, preach on fornication. Drinking, fornication. I was like, amen, sounds good to me. So I just thought, man, I'm telling you what, they started getting mad.
Yep.
Woo! Did they get mad? Why? Because you're right over the target. Because
yep.
They're a bunch of fornicating drunks.
Right. Yep.
That's why.
Yep.
But oh, preacher, don't. No, you know what? Don't. Why would you want to cool a preacher off? That's what I don't get. You know what? I hear the hiss of a serpent. That's what I hear. I hear that. When you try to tell me to stop preaching against sin, I hear the hiss of a serpent.
Amen.
I hear the devil saying, "Preacher, shut up."
Right.
And I tell him, "You go to hell."
Because
I'm not shutting up. You go back to hell where you belong, devil. Because I'm not going to stop preaching against sin.
Amen.
By the grace of God. Calm down, right? What are you getting so excited about? Oh, I don't know. We just have 4,000 babies being murdered every day, and everybody wants to sit and have a cup of tea and not think about it. It's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Are you thinking? We are in the valley of slaughter right now. But don't be so bold. Really? I mean, if you heard most of the dead sermons that are out there today, people weeping because they're standing for God, you don't get the emails I get, you critics out there. You don't get the emails I get of people that say, "Preacher, there's nothing here in this city. I go to church, and it's like the world. I mean, they got rock music in the church. They're using NIVs. They're walking in worldliness. Everything. I can't take my family there anymore." But you want to shut a preacher up and you want to stop his mouth and you want him to be quiet? That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, where does that come from? Well, that seems to remind me of that Jezebel spirit. That's what that is. It's an effeminate spirit. But it's that Jezebel spirit, right? And that Ahab spirit where it's like, okay, time to shut up. Okay, Elijah did a little too much for the Lord. Now I'm going to come after and kill him. Well, go ahead. I'm going to tell you like I told everybody else. You take your best shot. And God will be my shield, and he'll protect me because I'm doing his will and following his book, and we'll see what happens in the end.
Amen.
But I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of your little videos. I'm not afraid of anything. Oh, I might do a video. Listen, do 100 of them. Because every time you do a video and put my name to it, more people come and check out this ministry and be like, "What are you doing?
Right. Praise God.
Who is this guy anyway? I got to find out who this heretic is." And then they listen to Bible preaching, which is sound Bible preaching, and they say, "Oh, listen, I like that church. They follow the Bible." One guy said, "Hey, I found you through the Steven Anderson Exposed video." What's that? Yeah. Yeah, it does. "I found you through the Steven Anderson video, Exposing Cooley video. I found you through that."
Yeah,
thanks, Steve. I'm not worried about that because I'm following God's word. And by the way, I'm preaching against sin. And that's what this church does. We preach the gospel. We preach the law of schoolmaster to bring men to Christ. We preach the gospel on the streets. We preach the word of God in the assembly. And we warn against apostasy. And that's what we do.
Amen.
And that's what God's called us to do.
Right.
And we're not going to back off because of some light affliction that comes our way. It is all it is. That's right. We live in a time when biblical leadership is despised, when men sit at home and send their wives out to work and make YouTube videos about real churches serving God and standing against evil in the land. I got a newsflash for you. Why don't you get your own house straight before you come knocking on this door? Why don't you get your own house straight? You know? Why don't you do that? Yeah. Why don't you just go get your own house right? Don't worry about this one. Let the Lord deal with his church. Yeah, be simple concerning that evil. It should be very simple for you to turn from your idols. Yeah, I'm not a bit afraid. I'm not even a bit, not even that much.
Amen.
Not even that much. We are going to continue by God's grace to move forward. Without fear or favor. You say, what are you getting so excited about? I don't know, because I see what this country is going through right now, and I see what's happening here, and I see what God's people are so absolutely entangled with, and I say, is there not a cause?
Yeah, amen.
Isn't there a cause to get excited? Isn't there a cause to get fired up? Is it 4,400? If it wasn't for everything else, is it 4,400 babies a day enough to get fired up?
Amen.
And the apathy that has taken place in the churches today? And pastors are dumb dogs that can't bark. Well, this one can bark. By the grace of God, this one can bark. And I have to. I have to. Because, you know, I know this one thing. If I ever shut my mouth and listen to all the critics and just shut my mouth, I will definitely be punished by God. Mm-hmm. So I have to keep my mouth open wide and thunder it out the truth. But where are the godly men, the pastors, as prophets, standing in the gap against evil? Standing, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge. The prophets were first in that. As he said, the prophets and the priests, they were gone. He couldn't find one. He couldn't find one that would stand in the gap. Number two, where are the godly men that will stand up in the gap? Where are they? And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Psalms 94, verse number 16 says, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Who will stand up against me for the workers of iniquity? Listen, bold preaching is biblical preaching.
Amen.
Bold men are biblical men.
Right.
And like Spurgeon said, bold-hearted men are always called mean-spirited by cowards. It is a little too real, isn't it? But you know what? There's enough of people trying to tell us to back off. But you know what I've noticed, though? The homosexuals aren't backing off.
No.
The sodomites and the queers aren't backing off. No, they're not backing off. They're coming after our children. They're trying to take the public bathrooms and make it a fornication house, a public bathhouse. They're trying to make it so your child doesn't know if it's a boy or a girl or not. They're stealing the youth as fast as we can have them, and they are doing all these things, and they are pushing this in it. But you know what? They're not backing off. They're not backing off one bit. Why don't you go to? Hey, I got an idea. Why don't you go tell those people to back off? And back off of us and let us preach the word of God boldly.
Right.
Stop standing in the face and in the way of truth. Yes, they have. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers, or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? God said, I sought very earnestly and diligently, spoken of God after the manner of men. He sought out a man. He's put it in terms that we can understand, because God knows everything. Where are all the godly men today? So let me say, you around the country or wherever you are, say you don't have a godly pastor or a church. Well, then you still have to follow the scriptures and get to one and find one that is following the Lord Jesus Christ. However, you're still required to be a man and that stands against evil. You don't get a pass. You and I don't get a pass not to stand against evil. Who will rise up for me against evildoers? Where are all the godly men? We're all the men that will hold a sign in front of an abortion murder mill and protest that wickedness through the preaching of God's word. Why do you suffer sin upon others and not warn them? Why do you hate the lost and the baby murderers so much that you will not even warn them of their sin? It is hate. Why are you so sleepy? What does Romans chapter 13, verse number 11 tell us? And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Amen. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Amen. Amen. Wake up, sleepy Christians. Wake up. That's right. What meanest thou, O sleeper? It's time to wake up. It's time to rise. Listen, we've got enough of God's people sleeping through this Christian life, acting like they could take a nap through this Christian life. Yep, a nappy wappy. That's right. They're acting like that's what they're acting. They could sleep through this Christian life, just absolutely sleep through it. Listen, God called his men to be zealous and bold. Get the cloak of zeal on and be bold. Now, not everybody's going to be the same. Everybody's going to be a little bit different. I'm not talking that everybody has to be a carbon copy of each other, but we all have to be like Christ. Amen. And we all have to stand where God has placed us to stand. And you know what? It's too late. It's too dark. It's too late now for us to be playing games and not being bold against sin. God has called his prophets, his preachers, his people to stand against the murder of the unborn. You know, Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse number 10 says that innocent blood be not shed in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and so blood be upon thee. You know, God cast out all those people out of those lands and gave it to Israel. He promised Israel, but he cast them out. He said, for all these abominations that they had done, I cast them out. And what did Israel end up doing? The same abominations. Worse. The Bible says they did worse than the Amorites. It says they did worse than either the Ammonites or the Amorites. I can't remember which ones they were, but they did worse than them. Why? Because they sinned with full knowledge and understanding of what they were doing. Deuteronomy 21, verse 8, be merciful, O Lord, unto thy people Israel, whom thou hast redeemed, and lay not innocent blood unto thy people of Israel's charge, and the blood shall be forgiven them. Surely, at the commandment of the Lord, came this upon Judah to remove them out of his sight. That's 2 Kings chapter 24, verse number 3. Surely, at the commandment of the Lord, came this upon Judah to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh, according to all that he did. Verse number 4, and also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. You know, they had the greatest revival ever in Israel's history under Josiah. And Manasseh repented of the innocent blood that he shed. God brought Manasseh back after he repented, and he brought him back into the land. And said, then Manasseh knew the Lord, he was God. Right? God took him and put him into Babylon. So you want to act like a wicked little wizard and a devil? I'll send you to Babylon. You can be one there. Put him in fetters and chains and put him there and send him there. And then he brought him back when he repented. But you know what? He brought him back, and then there was a revival. And then he got those things out of the land, and then there was a revival that took place in that land. And you would think, but God said, nevertheless, but because of the innocent blood that Manasseh had shed in the land, God would not pardon. I'm telling you, we're looking at it today, and we've got way more blood that's been shed. Over 60 million babies in the U.S., not counting the ones that we pay for all over the world. But 60 million babies here. The most innocent life that you could imagine. Murdered by those that swear an oath to protect life. And in the land of the free and the home of the brave, not very brave and not very free. Absolutely legal and recognized, sanctioned by the federal government. And they'll pay for it, that's right. God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. God hates them. He absolutely hates them. God doesn't hate anything. I know that's what your local independent fundamental Baptist pastor told you, because most of them believe that, by the way. Now, I don't know how they get around all the verses in Psalms that say hands that God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. God hates all workers of iniquity. He hateth all workers of iniquity. And God is angry with the wicked every day. I don't know how they get around all that, but they do somehow. And they think that John 3:16 just done away with all that. John 3:16 done away with all that. Well, if they understood that said, for God so loved the world that he gave, and that love is found in Christ Jesus alone. You don't have the love of God without Jesus Christ. You don't have it. You can't. That's right. Very conditional. That's right. That's right. That's right. Only those that believe have the love of God.
God abides on
him. That's right. The wrath of God abideth on him.
Amen.
Yeah, the wrath. Yeah, exactly. But here in our verse, we see that God is looking for a man to stand in the gap. God wants some men to stand up and say, Lord, I'll bridge that gap that is there and be the man to cry out against evil. And I sought for a man among them. He was looking for a competent company of holy men, just like he did in Sodom, so he didn't destroy Sodom. He was looking for some holy men. Couldn't find enough of them. Right? And I sought for a man, a righteous man, one that would stand in the gap, would fill the void, a man that would stand up and preach, thus saith the Lord, against the evil, and will cry aloud and spare not, and lift up his voice like a trumpet. That's what this nation needs. Listen, we don't need buses full of people who are going to the voting polls, right? Or to the football game, or paintball wars, or youth activities with paintball and everything. We don't need any of that. We need buses full of people heading to the streets. I want a bus, too. I want a bus ministry. My bus ministry is going to be a little different here. I want a big bus, and I want to fill it with men, and I want to take them downtown. And I want them to preach all over there. I want them to comb it. I want to see 50 men comb it.
Amen.
Where we have to meet on all these corners, all the way around in different parts, because there's so many of us.
Amen.
That's what I want to see. And then we'll start a church down there. I'd love to start a church in Minneapolis and St. Paul. Both those places, Minneapolis and St. Paul, start churches there. That's what we need. That's right, in front of every bar, that's right. Our churches don't need more fun activities and retreats and football games and hockey games. We need buses of people outside the murder mill on Friday at the Planned Parenthood Solidarity event. That's what we need. We need some men that are fearless but wise and prudent. Wise enough not to invite trouble. Wise enough to be prudent and to foresee the evil, but fearless that if the evil comes, they will stand against it. We're not looking to be arrested, but we're not going to stop preaching either.
Amen.
Amen? We're not going to stop preaching. We need those men today that should make up the hedge that was broken down by the transgressions of the people. Don't you understand this? What's going on here is he's saying to make up that. Why? Because they broke down all the hedges. Sin breaks the hedges, and the serpent gets through. And that's what happened when apostasy sets in. It was broken down by the transgressions of the people who exceeded all bounds of law and justice. One that would restrain them from sinning and reform them and set them a good example. God wants some examples today, some men that will stand up and be examples unto the flock, be examples to people, be examples in churches, stand up and preach the word of God and live it.
Amen.
God has his hedge of protection and man breaks through that. The hedges are broken down in America. Murder is normal behavior. Do you understand that? It's normal for people to butcher their babies today. It's just normal activity in America. It's normal. Murder of the most innocent life is okay today. We're no longer appalled by it. The murder of the unborn means nothing. Leviticus 19:18 says, Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. You know, we don't love the tiniest neighbors in America. The tiniest, smallest, most helpless neighbors are a little baby in a mother's womb. And where is the love of God for them? Think about it. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. That's the principle. That's why we go and preach.
Amen.
We preach them, want them to be saved, yes, but we have to show them their sin first. No one ever got saved until they knew they were a sinner.
Right.
No one ever got saved until they knew they were guilty before God. They had to know they were guilty. They had to know how grievous their sin was to God. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 43 says, Ye have heard that it has been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. See, here's where people get confused. See, God's goodness, the sun rises on the evil and the good. That doesn't mean God loves you like a covenant love, like he loves his children.
Right.
It just means that his mercy is there. He allows his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He's grace. That's right. Graceful. And sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? For all the law, Galatians 5:14 says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Where is the love for those little neighbors? Where is the love for those little babies in the womb that are being slaughtered?
Right.
Where is the love for them?
Right.
How are we loving our neighbor, our tiniest ones, if we do not go and stand in front of clinics like that and warn them and show my people their transgressions and show the workers of iniquity? The one, listen, Manasseh was involved. He gave his son and daughter to the fire.
Yep.
But he still needed to be warned.
Yeah.
Prophets cried out to them and they persecuted the prophets. But they need to be warned. Those doctors that are shedding that innocent blood. You bet. They said to Paul, they said that police said to him when they arrested Paul, falsely I might say, arrested him for disorderly conduct when he was preaching in there. And everything, not that he said was against the law, by the way. And when he was preaching there, they said, well, they're afraid. That lady all the way up on one of the top floors can hear him. Praise God. He didn't have amplification. God carried his voice all the way up there.
Amen.
Hast thou found me, O mine enemy?
Yeah.
Hast thou found me, O mine enemy?
Yeah.
I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself into wickedness, to do wickedness unto the Lord. That's right, before the Lord. Yeah, he did find you. And that voice found exactly, God made that voice find exactly who needed to hear it. And they were scared. Well, like Paul rightly said to him, you ought to be scared of God. Not me. I'm not. You don't have to fear me. They should fear God.
Amen.
Well, I understand that, but we're going to arrest you anyway. Okay. Just like they did Peter, didn't we command you not to straightly not to preach in this man's name?
Right.
Right? You're not to preach in this man's name, are you? Oh, don't preach in Jesus' name, right? Oh, I'm afraid. I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Really? I hope the fear of God comes on you when there's like 10 of us there that are preaching.
Amen.
Right? Yeah. Because we don't harm people. We just preach the word of God. If it's not real, why are you getting so mad? Why are you so scared if it's not real? All he literally did was preach the judgment of God. Meanwhile, babies are being murdered, and when you suck their brains out alive and you don't give them any anesthesia or anything like that, you don't care if those babies' brains are sucked out. Can I be real with you a moment? These people pull a baby out of its mother's womb, stick a syringe in it, and suck its brains out. And that's protected, but you arrested the guy on the sidewalk for preaching against it?
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Wow. Everybody says, yeah, we got what's coming to him. I sure hope, lady and gentlemen there at that clinic, you don't get what's coming to you.
Right. Wow.
I sure hope you don't get what's coming to you.
Right.
But make no mistake about it, we will be back in full biblical force.
Amen.
On Friday by the grace of God.
Amen.
Oh, and more than that, yeah. Oh, we're going to be going there once a month. How do you warn them then? How do you warn them? You show them, you preach, and you hold up signs of scripture and graphic abortion. You know, there's a lot of churches that when Paul got arrested, there's a lot of churches like that would not want anything to do with that. Oh, that's a blight. Yeah, I didn't see him do that to Peter, though, when he came back, when he was knocking on the door. She answered the door. They were praying for him. They were praying for him, weren't they? Right. They didn't even believe he was there. They didn't even believe God delivered him. Right? They're still praying, waiting for him to come. It's his angel, they said.
Yeah, maybe it's his angel.
I'll admit, I'd be a little bit intimidated if that happened, if Paul showed up on my door like that. And he was after he was in jail a few minutes ago. I'm like, how'd you get here so quick?
Sure.
But anyway, hey, Ben, come on in. But, you know, we how do we do this? So how do we warn them? Well, we show them. We preach the word of God to them. We also hold up signs of scripture and graphic abortion signs. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 4. You know, God used illustrations. God's not against using illustrations. He used them. In Ezekiel chapter 4, we find out that he used an illustration. He had Ezekiel, his prophet, use an illustration. Thou also, son of man, take thee a tile and lay it before thee and portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem, and lay siege against it and build a fort against it and cast a mount against it, set the camp also against it and set battering rams against it round about. Moreover, take thou unto thee an iron pan and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city and set thy face against it and it shall be besieged and thou shalt lay siege against it. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel. Lie thou also upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it, according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon it, thou shalt bear their iniquity. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days, so shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on the right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed thee each day for a year. What's he doing? He's using an illustration. He's giving them an illustration of what they're doing. He's showing them their sin and what's coming. Hosea chapter 1, verse number 1. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredoms, departing from the Lord. Now, I'm glad I didn't have to do that. That's pretty rough, right? Go take a whore. Go take a whore for a wife. Go do that. Wow, that'd be pretty rough, wouldn't it? But that's what God told him to do, right? Therefore thou shalt set thy face toward the siege of Jerusalem, and thine arm shall be uncovered, and thou shalt prophesy against it. And behold, I will lay bands upon thee, and thou shalt not turn thee from the one side to another till thou hast ended the days of thy siege. Anyway, I don't know how I did that. I missed up. I got back in Ezekiel here. And I was in Hosea. I don't know what I was doing there. But anyway, that's kind of interesting how that did that. But okay, I'll keep going anyway. I took you back to the other one. But he had Ezekiel doing more of those illustrations. He told him, thou shalt drink also water by measure in Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 11. The sixth part of a hin from time to time shalt thou drink. And thou shalt eat it as barley cakes, and thou shalt bake it with dung that cometh out of a man in their sight. And the Lord said, even thus shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles, whither I will drive them. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, my soul hath not been polluted. Don't make me eat the dookie, God. Please, don't make me eat the dookie. No dookie sandwiches, right? He didn't want a dung sandwich, right? He didn't want one of those. Oh, right? Now that's rough. Next time you won't complain when you think about some things that God asked you to do. You don't have to eat a dookie sandwich, right? Right? Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, my soul hath not been polluted, for from my youth up even until now have I not eaten of that which dieth of itself, or is torn in pieces, neither came there abominable flesh into my mouth. Then he said unto me, lo, I have given thee cow's dung. Well, that's better, for man's dung, and thou shalt prepare thy bread therewith. God was having his preacher use what? Some graphic illustrations of their sin, right? You know, we go to those abortion clinics, we show graphic illustrations, but listen, what do they have a problem with? That's what they're pro-choice. Why do they get upset with you when you show them what pro-choice is? I don't understand why they get so upset when you show them what pro-choice is. This is what you voted to do. It's right in your face now. And that's what we're going to do. Listen, this is the murder that you're doing. This is what happens. What, did you think somebody waved a little magic wand and those babies just came out perfect and just died like that and nothing happened to them? No, it's brutal. It's brutal. They brutally murder those babies. That's what they do. And then they sell their body parts off so they can have a Lamborghini.
Yep.
Right? So they can have a Mercedes, so they can have a nice car. And they brag about it, and they're all drunk. And then the guy that does the videos undercover, he's the one that gets charged with it.
Yep.
And Planned Parenthood, and Planned Parenthood's not the criminal for doing what they did. See? Yeah. Yeah. And the president was concerned about the violation of Planned Parenthood's rights or whatever when they did videos. Well, I'm concerned about them selling baby parts and making a lot of money off of them and butchering babies.
Right.
Why aren't you concerned? Well, he said God bless Planned Parenthood. And he's right, the God of this world does bless Planned Parenthood, and that is Obama's God.
Right.
Obama's God is Satan, is Lucifer. They're all those high-level people are Luciferians. That's right. They say, hey, these signs, yeah, Cruz and Trump, yeah, they're both, yeah, that's right. They're both shills, too, for the New World Order. And these signs we hold up in our graphic illustrations of abortion and murdering babies so they can see what they're doing and understand this is life. You are killing.
Yep.
Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand in the gap in the day of apostasy, in the day when murder is normal? And if you speak against it, you get arrested and baby murders get a paycheck? Think about that. Now, I realize that, you know, that'll probably get thrown out and everything, but the point is that why would a police officer not understand freedom of speech and the First Amendment right? Why would he not understand that anyway? Right. Listen, we need bold men that stand in the gap against evil, to stand in the gap before me in the land, that I should not destroy it, in the gap that sin had made, at which the Lord was entering as a man of war to destroy the transgressors, one that should present himself to the Lord on the behalf of the people and seek mercy for them, interpose between God and them, and act the part of an intercessor to pray for them as Moses did for the people of Israel, that he would not destroy them. Folks, these people, as bad and wicked as they are, they need intercessors. They need people to go there to preach against their sin and to intercede for them. They need it. Isaiah 59:19 says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. That's what God is doing, raising up a standard, because the dumb dogs can't bark, so he's raising up others. Moses had stood in the gap, didn't he? In Ezekiel chapter 32, God was going to destroy him. God said, you know what? They worship this calf. Just let me alone. Get out of my way and let me just devour them. I'll just send out my fire and I will devour them. Right? I'll make a new nation from you. But you know what? He interceded for them. Moses interceded on their behalf. Wicked idolaters, and Moses interceded for them. And you and I have to intercede for those that need it. Those people need it. Those people are the vilest and wicked to murder their babies. But you know what? They're not beyond the reach of God. They're not beyond salvation. Manasseh was a murderer. Manasseh murdered his babies. He was a devil worshiper. He dealt with familiar spirits and wizards and everything else. He did all that, but God delivered him and God saved him. He can save them too. God responded to Moses' pleas for mercy because the people were still malleable enough to repent. But you know what? There comes a time when God will not respond. In Jeremiah's day, he had their prayers of mercy because of the Judaites were now hardened in opposition to his will. If you look in Jeremiah chapter 7 on your own time there, it's 16 verse 17, and Jeremiah 14, 11, God didn't answer those prayers, but he took the remnant away because they would not repent. We're responsible to intercede with prayer and imprecatory prayers with intercession for these people. And try to help them and try to show them the truth. Show them their errors. Show them that it's murder. Show those people. Go to the valley of slaughter, right? And show them. That's what's necessary. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 19, verse number 1. We are required of God to go to the valley of slaughter, to go to that valley of the son of Hinnom where that child sacrifice is done, where that is done. And we are required to go there and to preach to them. And listen, trust me, there's always going to be critics to what you say and how you do it. Now, none of them have ever stood in front of hardened, wicked sinners at an abortion clinic that laugh at you when you talk about a baby. They laugh at you when that baby is pulled out of that womb, and they laugh at you when you talk about that, and they brag about their abortion, and they dance for abortion rights, and they try to say, well, we have reproductive rights. They laugh and they mock, but then most people, all the YouTube critics out there, those that want to criticize preachers that are standing in front of those places, those people don't go stand in front of those places and talk to those hardened sinners who love their sin. Those hardened baby murderers and butchers and doctors and Planned Parenthood staff. They never see him chant, "Hail Satan," that's right. And what do? You preach the word of God. You preach the law to them.
Amen.
You preach the law to the proud and grace to the humble. You preach the law first, then you preach the gospel. That's right. You give them the law first. And they, you know, there's some guys out there that don't think you're supposed to do that, but those guys don't evangelize anybody anyway, so who cares what they think? But why would we listen to people that don't go on the street and preach the word of God in the open air to people and try to warn them to flee from the wrath to come? They don't do anything. They just talk about it. Jeremiah chapter 19, verse number 1, "Thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle and take of the ancients of the people and of the ancients of the priest, and go forth unto the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee." The words that I shall tell thee. "And say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, that the which whosoever heareth, his ears shall tingle." You know what? His ears shall tingle. God, listen, is it not true? Is judgment coming upon these abortion doctors and upon America and these baby butchers? Is it not coming? What, are we living in fairy tale land? Do we not believe the judgment of God is coming? Do we not believe the flames and the fires of hell are awaiting these people? Some don't. I guess they don't, because they sure don't preach to them like they are. I like the textbook guys that all they've ever done is look at the Bible like a textbook, but they've never actually taken it and preached the word of God and went out and confronted sinners and really dealt with things. They've never done that. Why? Well, they're cowards, that's why. That's a coward. They won't go hold a sign out there. You don't know, not everybody has to preach, but they won't go hold a sign out there. They won't go do that. What did God say? "Because they have forsaken me and have estranged this place, and have burned incense in it unto other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents." That place is filled with the blood of innocents.
Yeah, that's right.
It is filled with the blood of innocents. "They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire, for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks, that they might not hear my words." God says he will judge nations that shed innocent blood and people that shed innocent blood. We need to warn them of their impending doom, that they must turn from their sin of murdering babies, that God is bringing judgment upon them. That God, listen, our nation, judgment is here. It's here, but it's coming. And God may use the Muslims, God may use somebody else to come in to bring it in, but God is going to bring judgment into here, and he's going to destroy this place. And you know what? We're not out of line by going and telling people to say the truth. Listen, God's going to destroy this nation because it's wicked, because of this baby murdering. Do you know this is one thing that God destroyed a nation of? He said, "For the innocent blood that they shed, I would not forgive." God said he would not pardon his own Israel, his own people. He said, "I will not pardon them." And he would not pardon their transgression. He said the land had to have rest from its Sabbath. It had to have rest, and God wouldn't pardon them. So he took them out for 70 years, and he took them away from that land for 70 years. And they had no rest. No rest. Judgment came. They lost everything. You know what? America is losing everything. I know we're not Israel, and I don't believe in replacement theology or any garbage like that, but the principles for nations are the same. You sin against God. You grievously sin against God. You turn your back on the God of the Bible. You slay the prophets. You shed innocent blood in the land. That is a recipe to destroy any nation. I don't care what nation it is. You don't have to be Israel to do that, because God said, "I destroyed the nations before you." Why? For those things. I'm telling you, when Roe v. Wade was passed, it's like you put a fork in it, it's done. You just legalized the murder of the most innocent. God hates those that prey on the fatherless, the widow, and the innocent life.
Right.
He hates them. Scaring all these little old ladies, telling them they're not going to get their Social Security checks and all this other stuff constantly, while these guys are making $150,000 or $250,000 a year, $200,000 a year. They get their checks no matter what Congress votes its own raise in. But you made a lady dependent on you her whole life, and then she's old, and you're scaring her. Yeah, break. That is wicked. That's this country, though. Right. Lifetime insurance, pensions, everything. That's right. God says he will judge nations that shed innocent blood, and we've got to warn them. We need to warn them of their impending doom, that they must turn. Could God use the Muslims, the strangers, to come in and destroy our nation and our families because we've killed our little neighbors and slaughtered them? Well, if we don't have any mercy, why would God have any? We have no mercy. Why does it make bigger news when the Tiller killer was killed by some guy that put him to death at his Lutheran church? But the 4,400 babies, the 60,000 babies that he killed, doesn't even get a passing thought by most people. They're just appalled by the fact that somebody did that. Now, I don't condone that behavior. I don't condone killing anybody. I don't know how God looks at it, to be honest with you. I don't know. It's a tough one for me. I really don't. Because the federal government says something is wrong and something is wicked and something is bad doesn't mean God does.
Right.
But again, we don't condone that behavior because we know that's not the answer. The answer is the Word of God. The answer is the Bible. What's that? That's right, but God makes the appointment with death. And if God is not mocked. You're not going to sit in a place called a church, which Lutheran churches aren't biblical churches, but anyway, they call themselves a church. Well, they would be considered, I would consider them a Lutheran church. That's right, not a biblical one, but not a biblical church, but a Lutheran church. That's fine. There was a Lutheran church, and then this guy is sitting there. You're really going to mock God like that? You're going to show up to something you call a church, and you're going to mock God like that? You don't think that's going to happen? Nothing's going to happen from that? Now again, we are against that. We stand against violence. We don't believe in violence. We don't believe in murdering. But you know what? People are more appalled by that. They are more appalled by that than they were about him murdering 60,000 babies. 60,000 is what I think the count was. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was. What's that? You know, who will stand in the gap and make up the hedge? The pro-life movement won't do it. The pro-life movement, the only thing they do, you know what the pro-life movement does? I figured out all they do is make money. And they make money for candidates. The pro-life movement is in bed with the federal government, and they're in bed with these special interest groups, and they're in bed with all these politicians, and they have a game going. Okay, so we'll get a candidate that's pro-life, we'll back that candidate, and that candidate gives them validity so they can continue with their charge and act like they're going to do something about abortion. So every 4 years, they act like they're going to do something about abortion. But you're starting to notice that people really don't care anymore. And that's how you know this country is almost done, because Donald Trump is in the lead, and Donald Trump said Planned Parenthood does good things. And Donald Trump is being voted by, he is the Republican leader right now, and he's probably going to end up being in there, which probably Hillary will end up being in there but we don't know. But listen, here's the point, okay? Donald Trump said that Planned Parenthood does some good things. That's what he said. Planned Parenthood does a lot. No, I'm against their abortion. I'm against it. But Planned Parenthood does some good things. See, I don't know how you do that. Because let's say, PJ, come here for a second, please. If PJ was walking towards me and I knew he murdered somebody, I wouldn't invite PJ into my home, right? Well, PJ's done some good things. Yeah, but he just killed somebody. Do you get the point?
Yeah.
How can you separate that from PJ? I can't. He just murdered somebody, right? So how can I separate that? How can I have PJ come into my home and do that if I knew that he was a murderer? How could I say, well, yeah, but he bakes a good cake.
Yeah.
PJ can bake a good cake.
He only murders 3%.
and he only murders 3% of the time of his life. The other 97%, he's baking cakes. And that's some good cake. 97% of the time, the guy can bake a cake. The other 3%, he's killing. But hey!
Be more positive, right?
Be more positive. Look at the bright side of things. But listen. Listen. That's the whole ball game right there. It's everything. It's the whole ball game. It's everything. 2 Corinthians. The whole ball game right there. Right there. 2 Corinthians. The whole ball game. That's it. It's a whole ball of wax. That's it. It's a whole ball game right there. Everything. It's a whole ball game right there. 2 Corinthians. Right? So what do we have? We literally have the pro-life movement is probably going to back either him or Cruz, but they've done nothing. And now the Republican Party is supposed to be the champion of pro-life. They have most of the delegates around the country have voted for Donald Trump. He is in the major lead. He is the front runner right now. So you think about this. So now, so what's the pro-life movement doing? Nothing. What is it? What do they say? Oh, you shouldn't evangelize outside of those events. You should just talk about try to save people from getting an abortion. That's what the pro-life movement does. That's what they do. You just talk to, you try to talk them into not going there, but don't preach the gospel to them. Right, right, yeah. When I believe what the abolition guys do, abolish abortion, right? No, abolish it. No, there's no negotiating. We don't negotiate with terrorists, okay? We don't negotiate with terrorists. They're terrorists. They kill little tiny babies. We don't negotiate with you, okay? Right, right. So we don't negotiate with terrorists. So no, we believe in abolish abortion completely. That's right. If you don't want your baby, give it to somebody else. 60,000. Yeah. Yep. Listen, folks, the pro-life movement's not going to do it. An absolute abolishing it. We cannot move. Now you've got these preachers that are talking about, well, we got to incrementally do this. We got to incrementally. That is the road to apostasy right there. When somebody says that to you, we don't have to incrementally. We got to take those signs, and bless God, we got like 6 of them now, I think, and we got to take those signs there, and we got to stand there with them and stick it right in front of their faces. And let them see it and preach boldly and straight to them.
Yep. Right.
Yep. And ask them why they support.
Why do you support this? Why do you support pulling this baby out and murdering it? Why do you support that?
Why are you holding the sign? Why isn't this on your
side? Right. You know, we don't want to be on the wrong side of this. We don't want to let it be said on our watch that they could find. I sought for a man, and there was no man. We don't want it to be said about us. We want to be a praying church. We want to be a church that fasts and prays, that seeks God's face, and that goes, and that confronts the sin where it's at and preaches the gospel to a lost and dying world.
Amen.
That preaches the law and the gospel to them and warns them that they are under the judgment of God, and they must repent. Let the record show when we die that we fought a good fight and finished our course and we kept the faith. We didn't back off one bit. And we stood in the gap for this generation. I'm telling you, folks, it's so important. As we raise up another generation, as we see these young men, an army of young men that are coming that God is raising up, as we see that and we see our children that God is going to raise up in our homes, we see an army of these children that are coming up. Man, what is there, like 30 children here? Like 30 children, an army of children that will be raised right for Jesus Christ by the grace of God, raised right and taught to battle against sin and taught to hate sin and know where they're supposed to be, a lady knowing her place and a husband knowing his place, and following that, raising children for God and taking care and going out and warring against this.
Amen.
That's why Margaret Sanger doesn't want you to have babies. That's why Margaret Sanger didn't want that. You know why? Margaret Sanger didn't want you to have babies because she didn't want an army to stand up against her and to warn against their wickedness, to stand up against them. Listen, is there not a cause? It's time to go. Let's go in the power of the Lord and do what God wants us to. If you can't be there that day, you pray. You pray and you pray and you pray And if God leads you to fast, then you fast and pray. But you pray and you seek God's face and you get the power of God. And then we go and we preach the word of God. And we stand there and we boldly preach and show them their errors and show them their wicked sin and show them that God is angry with that. Who will go to the valley of slaughter? Who will go down to these abortion clinics to the valley of slaughter and witness against them?
Amen.
It won't be just one day. Yeah, we're going Friday, but we got to go monthly. We got to go as much as we can and warn them and stand in the gap and warn them before it's too late. God is bringing judgment. God sought for a man. Let's be those men. Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your words. Thank you for the truth of them. Help us to live this out, Lord. Protect us, guide us, use us, protect us. Fill us with your spirit, Lord, and give us your power. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.